Blog Talk Radio.
The North American Wrestling Connection. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment. The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
There I was, heading poolside, trying to catch some rays. Sorry, Ray. The girls were feeling macho.
Macho, man. You're so big.
Easy now, girls. It's family entertainment. Yeah.
I had work to do. I was scanning around the globe for clues to the biggest mystery of our time. The sun was extremely bright.
If your deductive capabilities were a fraction of what you possess, this incognito caper would have been solved by now.
Thank you, son. Right kid. And he was right. After all this time, I'm still tormented by that one burning question. How can there be two undertakers? Maybe one is corrupt like you.
Police, arrest that man.
I will solve this case at SummerSlam.
Which would be an amazing thing, which gives him an entire year to scan from heaven in hopes of finding the Undertaker. Rest in peace, Leslie Nielsen. I never called you Shirley. But we'll have many more laughs and surprises tonight, as this is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. I am a tad frazzled, so you'll pardon me if I trip over my tongue and fall flat on my face. Let's see. Who do I have here that's going to help me along? Not too far around the corner from me, I have DJ here tonight.
I'm still celebrating a big win by my alma mater, the Ohio State Buckeyes, over Nikki Heyman's alma mater, the Florida State Seminoles, in an ACC Big Ten Challenge basketball game on Tuesday. So I have that going for me.
Do you want to stay on this show?
Future endeavors.
No. I can't kick him off just yet. And since you've spoken up, sir, we'll look down deep in the heart of Texas for Mr. Typho.
For those of you out there worried that with the departure of MVP that there's going to be a lack of talent, have no fear, because G-Rilla is on his way.
Oh boy. And saving my butt for yet another week due to VRM deciding that he should dedicate his career to just the MMA. Our buddy from New York, the sound man, Jim Williams.
Actually New Jersey, but I won't hold it against you. I'm turning into the Michael of this show. I'm on every week. Only I don't think I'm as annoying yet.
Yet. Not yet. But please, do not work too hard on that.
I will try not to.
And you're a little garbly, but I think you'll be able to stick around.
If push up to shove, I'll call back on the landline. My netbook has been acting up the last few weeks.
Not a problem. I'll go ahead and start with something that Typho had just referenced. MVP and the WWE have come to terms, and the Fed has wished MVP well in his future endeavors. The original scare was the fact that they thought that he'd gotten fired. According to his official, according to his Twitter, the 305 MVP, he was not fired. He asked and received his release. He has not gone into too many details on what he wants to do, although he has. He mentioned Japan, and I thought he might have a thought at music. Typho, do you have anything else on that?
The only things that I've seen is that he said he wants to go international and freshen up his, character, moveset, everything. For what it sounded like to me, it sounded like he just wanted a break for a little while to do his own thing, and eventually down the road he might find his way back.
I find it kind of surprising, especially after watching SmackDown this week, the size of the pop he was getting when him and Caval were out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, It gives me a minor flashback to Jeff Hardy, but I think MVP still has his head on straight. I was surprised to hear that I am only slightly older than MVP, and that he sounds like he's still got a bit of a career ahead of him. DJ, how long do you think he'll be gone?
I would give it probably a good 2 years. Really, the MVP character has gotten stale since he's turned face. I like MVP. I think he works well in the ring. Obviously, when he first came in with his heel run, he was great on the mic with the VIP lounge and everything. I think one of the things that has hurt him recently is that the lack of a good finisher, the drive-by, the playmaker, those really didn't help him get over all that well. But I'm with Typho. I hope he goes away, recharges his batteries. I wouldn't like to see him in TNA because old WWE guys, they don't really know how to use well. And when you guys talk about him going international, going to Japan, there are actually rumors that he would like to have a bout in Japan with Masachono. So stay tuned for that front developing. But, no, I think it would be a good thing for him to go away, recharge his batteries, and that way when he comes back, maybe we will all have forgotten about him jobbing out to various people on Superstars and on Friday nights.
I'll give him this much. He found a perfect way to go out. He essentially got killed by Kane.
Yes.
He went out the same way he came in. His ass kicked by Kane.
So I think if it is as mutual as MVP is saying, I'm going to go on record saying that next week we will get a last passing mention. As you know, a favorable release from WWE. You get your name on air one more time before you disappear into the aether. He claims he didn't get fired, but if he got fired, they're not going to mention him.
So if he got fired, he would just show up again next week and put someone through a table.
He can't pick up Kane. Mm-hmm. So, but no. Seriously, I've had the pleasure. I met him when he was face. He's one of those guys that is 100% into his character. When I met him up in Pittsburgh before Armageddon 07, he was literally superstarring everybody and just giving everybody crap and not really, just yelling at everybody when we're all popping for him, going, y'all going to boot for me tomorrow at the pay-per-view. I don't know why you're cheering for me now. Complete 180 when we run into him a couple years later in Wheeling at a house show. And, he was all smiles. He stayed out there signed for everybody. My picture with him on NikkiHeyman.com, please check it out at some point. I look more like his bodyguard. But to him, best of luck. And, dude, just so you know, I was 305 when 305 covered a lot more of Florida than just North Cuba. So, now that I've gotten my obligatory dig on my home state out of the way,
mm-hmm.
let us turn and pick on somebody else, such as Mr. King Sheamus. I dug the KOR tournament this time around. I actually enjoyed most of the matches. Of course, you all know I was rooting for Jomo, and I mean, come on. Maybe it's just I might be slightly colored by Jomo.
Nah, here we go.
But Jomo was Jomo with Pyro three times. I can't complain about that, but we need to talk about the tournament. Is Sheamus the pick that we needed here, Jim?
The answer is no.
Okay.
Historically, the King of the Ring tournament has launched somebody from mid-card to top of the ladder. Sheamus was already pretty much top of the ladder among those who were in the tournament. I think it would have been better served for Morrison, for Daniel Bryan, for Alberto Del Rio. One of those types, as opposed to Sheamus, who has already won a championship at this point. It should have gone somebody else. I mean, we all kind of expected he might be the winner, but that's not a good thing.
And to that, I'm going to turn this over in your direction, DJ. KOR is usually used to elevate a heel. Do you think Del Rio really would have needed the help here, since he's already a big deal fairly quick?
Well, you're right about that, Nikki. Usually it is it works better with a heel. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, trying to think, King Mabel. I mean, on and on and on in the early days. Owen Hart. I mean, you know, it always works better for a heel. The thing about Sheamus and Jim, I agree with you. I don't think he needed it. He's a two-time WWE champion. It's usually given to somebody on the rise. But to think about it this way, he's really only been at the top of the card for 1 year. If you wanted to make a case for Sheamus, he's only been at the top of the card for 1 year. He's had two, if you think of it in kayfabe, fluky WWE title wins, a tables match, and I think his second one, did it come out of Fatal 4-Way?
Right, and that was and part of that was because I think there was the Nexus were involved.
Right, so I mean, he hasn't, he lost at WrestleMania to Triple H. He had a pinfall loss to Santino Morella. He really hasn't been the strongest guy in the last few months. King Sheamus does have a good ring to it, and I think it sets him up coming out very nicely for a King of Kings versus a King of the Ring feud. Hopefully that will start to see some that feud get some legs around Royal Rumble. But I'm with you, Nikki. I would have had John Morrison win. You know, King of the Palace of Wisdom would have had a great ring to it as well. But, I mean, I really don't have a problem with Sheamus. I rather would have seen Jomo. But you can make a case for Sheamus, I guess.
And you kind of hit the nail on the head, and this is because I was going to mention that with about Triple H. Since he was due back, this would be the perfect, you know, step in for him to go ahead and start getting Sheamus back for, you know, literally kicking him out of the business, kicking him out of the Fed for a while.
And what I want to see is this, and I think this would be a great thing for WWE to do. Starting next week on Raw, maybe have like some kind of a King's Court with Sheamus, and he comes out in all his regalia and a big throne in the middle of the ring, and he brags on and on and on, and then Triple H's music hits, and he looks stunned. And it kind of happens over the next few weeks, kind of like how they do with The Undertaker, but there's no payoff yet. And at the Royal Rumble, maybe Sheamus eliminates a bunch of guys. He's the only one left in the ring. Then the music hits, and then he finally makes his first appearance. I think that would be a great way to kind of build the rivalry, not the rivalry, but build this second wave of the feud and really hit the high note at the Royal Rumble.
Okay. And I've parodied on this that essentially I read on WrestleCraft that people were expecting Triple H to come out as soon as Sheamus was crowned, and all I can think of is the scene with Starscream and Galvatron from Transformers the movie. Yes, my geek is showing, but can't you see this where Hunter walks out and says, "This is a coronation. This is stupid. This isn't even funny." And Sheamus just looking at him weird. He says, "Triple H." Yeah, here's a hint, and just does that huge pedigree that he did at Mania. It's funnier in context. Anyway. Now that I've completely killed the crowd, get to something that I'm not terribly happy about, and Jim mentioned it just before we went on the air, and that is our lovely former goatee-wearing bitch, now the supposed voice of the WWE and the voice of the anonymous GM, Mr. Michael Cole.
Oh, my.
Final? Yeah. Who decided that he needed to do something, such as embarrass his broadcast partner by jumping in the ring and interrupting a TLC match between Lawler and The Miz. This seems to be another baby step towards Cole becoming a full-blown character. And the slow easing in of CM Punk, which I just wanted Punk there to shut Cole up or, you know, rein him in here and there. Am I on the right track here, Typho? Is Cole going to turn into a manager, or is he the manager? Are we actually transitioning towards this dreaded thought that Michael Cole could be the anonymous chant?
I've pretty much believed since about the beginning of the anonymous general manager that, well, first off, when they started it, I knew they had no idea who it was going to be. And over time, I've just kind of figured that once push comes to shove and they have to reveal somebody, that it's going to be Michael Cole, because they're not going to have any better ideas. So, I mean, I think he will eventually be the general manager, and I think he will become more of a, well, I don't know, I think what he's done so far is about where he's going to be, except instead of reading an announcement, an anonymous general manager, he'll just make them himself, but otherwise he'll be about what he's been and stay at the announce table and all that. I don't think they're going to have him do any more, really, than he's already doing.
Okay. If they don't move him away, well, they can't really move him away from the announce table, Jim. Cole's supposedly the only play-by-play guy over there. Punk can't be a play-by-play guy, could he? No, Ruby, you can't answer that question. Anyone? Bueller?
We appear to have lost Jim.
Okay. DJ, let me get your 2 cents on this. Punk Lawler at the table with Cole doing whatever he is he's going to try to do.
Well, my vote would not even be for Punk Lawler. My vote would be for Punk Colt Cabana. And that was the hint that Punk was dropping on Monday Night Raw with his Star of David Colt shirt. So that would be my ideal announce team. But actually, in all seriousness, I don't know if you move, because like you said, Nikki, there is nobody else. Do you move Todd Grisham over? Obviously, they're not happy with his work. Otherwise, they wouldn't have Michael Cole sit in on Friday nights. There's nobody down in FCW. Byron Saxton is going to be on NXT. Are you comfortable with Scott Stanford on Monday nights? Him and CM Punk seem to do pretty well on Thursday nights, but Stanford doesn't really know all the moves. So I don't know. I think you have to have
Michael
him there
Cole
for now, and then have a little bit of tension between Cole and Lawler and Punk, and it might turn out okay.
Yeah, and Typho brings up a point. Cole doesn't know half the moves either. He calls them all wrong. I think Punk knows all the moves, but isn't cut out to be a play-by-play guy. Lawler knows most of the moves, but he's probably forgotten more about the business than some of the guys in the ring already know.
What about Josh Matthews?
I would love to bring Josh back over to the table. I like Josh. But, Josh strikes me as somebody who could do either one. He could be play by play. He could be,
one moment.
He could be. Do I hear a Jim?
No.
Welcome back.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello again. Okay. You
I see. Apparently, the anonymous general manager wanted to kick me off of Skype again. Yay.
He's going to cut that out. Actually, I think it was just because I asked a very offensive question. The fact that if Cole did drop a tape. Yeah, so. And this, you know, since you do commentary yourself, my friend, would a Punk Lawler table work? And because Punk doesn't strike me as a play by play guy, even though he knows the moves.
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a play by play guy. We've said that enough times before. Punk
right.
Kind of did, when Cole left the table, Punk did sound compelling enough and really sold the match and the ending of it fairly decently. I don't see it happening. I see them bringing in Matthews or somebody on the depth chart already there if they do that. But I just think Cole's going to stay as an announcer and be the heel announcer and the general manager and what have you, although really... we have to suspend belief if he's truly the general manager, because how can he send emails to himself instantaneously without anybody seeing it?
And Nikki, I've got 2 wild cards for you. I read his blog all the time on his website. You know, he always talks about how that ship has sailed, but he did return for Old School Raw, and it was kept a secret that's Jim Ross. And number two, I know his talent contract expired a couple weeks ago, but he's still an employee of the company, and maybe he'd be willing to re-up and become the voice of Monday Night Raw again, and that's Joey Styles, but just don't bump him from Backlash.
Well, he doesn't have to worry about that. They got rid of Backlash, so they can't bump him from it. I don't know if Joey would go back on the road, and I would love to have JR back at the table personally. I'm probably a weird enough person that I would like to see Michael Cole and JR quote unquote wrestle, which essentially would entail JR just punching Cole's lights out. So, but I don't see that happening either. I would love to see, you know, I'd love to see Joey come up. I would love to see JR come back, but that's asking a lot. I'm just hoping that, you know, if they can find some way to strengthen SmackDown table to rein Cole in. I had to mute SmackDown several times tonight.
Except what about the other half of the SCW now? Abraham Washington.
If he's just calling matches and not having talk shows, I think I could tolerate it.
I love him and Byron Saxton together. They're actually a really good announce team. But neither of them are truly a play-by-play guy, but you don't really have to be. So.
Right.
As long as you tell stories good enough and spin the yarn, then you're good enough.
Right.
Well, if the Nexus dies out, Wade Barrett did play-by-play for FCW for almost a year.
Well, that would suck kayfabe-wise.
He can bring the winds of change to the announce table.
Only if he... Never mind.
No.
I've already said it. You know, I think the announcing would improve greatly if Michael Cole took an entire locker room full of finishers and a DX wedgie. So.
Well, and maybe bring Stone Cold back one more time just for good old time's sake to get in the business.
Yes, that would be one of the few times that I would actually cheer for Austin.
And the other option, I can't believe we haven't considered this. They brought him back from the dead a couple of weeks ago. I hear Lord Alfred Hayes wants some more action.
I really
do. You know what?
Go ahead.
We're all being really overly optimistic. We're probably going to end up with Hornswoggle's great return to the announce booth on Monday Night Raw.
Let's see.
How about when he gets out of his coma, Vince returns to the announce table?
It would only work if Ventura came in, and I don't think Ventura would go back on the road for that. Let's see. Hornswoggle at the table. What does the panel have for that? That's what I thought.
Only if the Swagger Soaring Eagle can come out and kick him in the face again.
And only if
maybe the Swagger Soaring Eagle can do commentary.
Wait a minute. You're bending my brain. Although that would be better that would still be better commentary than my
because that would be stupid.
No, the gobbledygooker as his partner would be stupid.
Speaking of that, though, I'm going to throw this in. If you guys, anybody who didn't happen to peek on the WWE.com over Thanksgiving, they actually did a Last Bird flapping match, or at least they talked about a Last Bird flapping match, the Swagger Soaring Eagle versus the Goblin Cooper, and actually did a Tale of the Tape.
Oh, dear God.
I just kind of checked Hector Guerrero wasn't working for TNA because I'd love to... One last time, just to see Hector and Javito have some fun with that.
And strangely enough, it would be a family affair.
Yes.
And somewhere, an ornithologist is crying.
Yes. Yes, I mean, Oh, Marty Stauffer's Wild America couldn't put on this kind of an act. That's all I'm saying.
So, let's see.
Anybody under the age of 40, look that up. Thank you. Yes.
There you go. Now, despite having 3 hours of television time and Raw posting a 3.1, I'm sure DJ was very disappointed at the fact that Randy Orton was nowhere to be found on this show.
Recharge your batteries, champ, and then take back your title come Sunday. Oh, wait. That's another guy.
That's another guy.
Does Randy Orton, did he, before Batista left the company, was Randy able to get his hands on the Game Genie code?
I don't think so. I'm looking around to see if Barrett's been playing with it. Either that or Batista willed it to Rey Mysterio.
I think Edge might have it.
I haven't figured out who exactly has it at the moment. But
well, if Edge has it, then Paul Bearer put some gravy on it and ate it.
Hopefully it doesn't fall into the hands of, say, Tyler Rex or anybody.
Tyler Rex has been using something to get himself on TV anyway.
No idea.
He flies the company plane.
He's the safety inspector.
He's got the photos that Funaki was using to keep his job all these years.
Vince refuses to take off in his private plane until Tyler Rex is okay to.
Wow. But I'm going to throw this out to all of you guys. Orton has taken a couple of weeks off to rest a sore neck. If this was something that was known, could the Nexus jumping Randy and Miz cashing in be something that was moved up?
Seems like it. That seems very plausible.
It was just a thought when I found out what it was, because at first, you know, there was a bunch of information out there saying, oh no, the knee injury that when Husky Harris stomped on Orton's leg was legit. Husky's getting fired, you know. I'm like, no. It's not that cut and dried. It's not that bad. But,
well,
then, you know. But.
Nikki, I don't know if it was moved up because what I heard is that Brandy's been having neck and back troubles now actually for months. If you remember the show that we attended back in June, he was having those same problems, and he was actually the night before in Youngstown had worked in the main, and then we got the next very next day, that Sunday in Wheeling, we got a Cutting Edge segment with he and Edge.
Right.
And I was told before the event that he wouldn't be working, that he would maybe do some kind of a run-in or something, and that's we got minimal work from Randy. He didn't even take a bump. This is something that's been bothering him for months. But if we actually do want to know the whole story, I do have Randy Orton's phone number. And maybe one of these days, for a special edition of the North American Wrestling Connection, we can call him and put him on the show.
Ooh.
And that, my friends, is a shoot.
Hmm. I'm going to have to take a week and dare you on that one.
Well, what I plan on doing one of these times is having one of those prepaid cell phones so it wouldn't actually be my number, and then wait until he's on a live event, like in the main event, and then just call, like, to see if I get, like, Randy Orton's voicemail. It would be, I'm sure it would be really enthusiastic.
If I know you, leave me a message. If not, shut your mouth.
I'm Randy Orton. I'm not home right now because I'm applying some...
Dang, you caught me completely off guard.
I'm a player.
There you are. You caught me completely off guard.
Yes.
That's okay. No, it'd be more like, hello? Oh, how you doing? Gotcha.
What's up?
Stupid.
You're calling me at a time I cannot answer my phone. You are stupid.
You called far worse by better wrestlers.
So,
make sure your message is shorter, otherwise I will punch you in the skull.
And in the background you hear, Vintage Viper.
The Apex Predator!
I am coiled and ready to call you back.
But first, let me pound on the floor and separate my shoulder.
I hear voices in my head, and it's yours. Leave a message.
We found it.
Hey, that's nothing you can say. Nothing's going to change what you've done to leave a message. We really do need to call Randy. That would be epic. That would be the greatest night in the history of our sport. I mean, podcast.
Yeah. Industry. What?
And then we could just leave all kinds of nonsense for a message, and he'll probably change his number after that.
Mission accomplished.
Then the next week we can follow it up with Jericho, the franchise Shane Douglas, and Mike the Miz. Because they're all in my phone bank, oddly enough.
Oh, God.
Yes, we must call the Miz, but there's no way to moon him over internet radio. Because all I say is, hey, Miz, can I have a ticket to Parma?
I would just ask Miz if I could be Alex Riley's driver.
Oh!
Take a lot of money from that.
Driving Mr. Daisy right there, yes. Oh.
Now you're stealing CM Punk's gimmick.
Oh, man.
I think we need to move on.
Yes.
Yes, let's
see. The disaster that is NXT Season 3 is finally over. Caitlin wins. Hooray. Caitlin has already reappeared as she showed up in a backstage segment on SmackDown tonight. I see that AJ and Naomi will be popping up here and there as they're being retained, but we don't know what's going to happen to Oksana, Maxine, and who did I miss? Oh, yeah, the other one got fired. Never mind.
Oksana will eventually become a regular part of the show soundboard, so lest we all worry.
At some point, she will be back to entertainment us.
What is llama?
I was going to say, she'll be back once she knows what is llama. Plus, she needed to go see her mother.
Oksana and Britt Tamlin from Anchorman would be one hell of a couple. What is llama? I love lamp. Yeah.
Actually, a great gimmick for her would just be to put that net around her that Dusty Rhodes put on her and just have her dance around in the net.
It's just a common man. Yeah, exactly.
But, oh, lordy.
Okay. I'm sorry, Nikki. Yeah, I bring the class level on the show way down every time I'm on.
No, but trust me. See, the only thing that's been clean on this show tonight has been the fucking language. I mean, anyway.
What the hell?
And there went that. What's
the fucking problem with the goddamn language? What the hell?
Thus.
Testicles.
Just a funny word.
I'm more of a Craigslist guy, but that's okay.
Yeah, each their own.
That was the perfect time for that soundbite, by the way.
Yeah.
So, with the go-so from that, they are going to try this yet again. They're going to start up a fourth season, and Typho, fill us in. Who's the rookies, who's the pros, and what should we expect?
Okay, we go finally the rain is done falling and we're back to being wild and young again. Because we're going back to the all-male contestant version of NXT. Except instead of 8, it's going to be 6, just like it was with the Divas. I don't know the reason. Probably they've depleted their developmental territory too much, but I don't know. But anyway, your pairings for NXT Season 4 are, first off, R-Truth is returning to the show as a pro. And this time he gets a little talent upgrade from David Otunga. Yes, he gets G-Rilla.
I was going to say.
His rookie actually is Johnny Curtis, who has been in developmental for a very long time. He was in Deep South Wrestling, which was shut down in 2007, so that gives you an idea of exactly how long he's been around. He's like the Heath Slater of this season. He's been around forever. Finally getting a shot. From the list of talent in this season, he's going to be the one to watch, in my opinion. He's very good. I was shocked when he wasn't on season 1 or season 2, so I'm happy to see he's getting the chance. And he's actually been wrestling for a really long time. He worked for John Cena's dad's promotion, and he's worked a lot in the Northeast back in his day. I think he started in, like, 99, so he's got experience. So he's not going to be a David Otunga, luckily for R-Truth. Chris Masters is the next pro. His rookie is Byron Saxton, who you may recognize the name because he was the color commentator on ECW for its last several months of existence. But from his video package we saw this week, that was not referenced. So we may have to take out the old brain eraser on that one. He may be a completely new superstar here. Saxton, he's mainly recently been an announcer in FCW, but he has wrestled, he has managed, he can do it, so I really don't know how to describe it. He's not bad, he's not great, he's in the middle.
Jack of all trades, master of none, perhaps?
He's charismatic, he can do pretty much whatever in the ring. He's not going to blow you away with some 5-star match, but he's serviceable. I guess that'd be the best way to put it. Ted DiBiase and Maurice are going to be the next set of pros. Their rookie is a guy by the name of Brodus Clay, better known to many as G-Rilla. He is a not overly talented individual. He's large, and that's about the best thing I can say about him. Apparently, he's supposed to be a suplex machine now. I didn't know dropping people on their head made you a suplex machine. So from him, you'll see a lot of punching. You'll see a lot of other punches and no-selling and all that kind of stuff.
Like I said, it worked for Scott Steiner with the over the belly-to-belly. What the hell was that move?
And Typho, you talked about the wild and young theme returning. It would be funny, though, if they used the You Make the Rainfall song with the video package, including G-Rilla. That would just be hilarious.
It's going to be fun enough watching him come out to DiBiase's new auto-tune theme.
Good Lord.
Oh, God.
Hopefully, at this point, he comes out to Maurice's theme. Be like all those edits you make in SmackDown versus Raw, like sending The Undertaker out with Christy Hemme's entrance.
God, yes.
See G-Rilla jump in the ring and do the hair flip and the wink.
And do the whatever little pose, yeah.
He's going to flip his chest there, though.
No, I was going to say the music is very appropriate because it starts out just right for him. Pourquoi?
Why? Yeah, pretty much.
See, this was a guy that was fired at one point, and they brought him back. And once you see him, if you've never seen him in the ring before, you're going to question the sanity of the talent relations department.
Yeah.
The best thing I can say about him at this point is at least it's not 2007 Deep South, because once you see him, this is going to be hard to believe, but he was even worse then.
Oh, God. So he
I thought you were
going to
say at least it's not Khali.
Yes. It's about the same thing. I guess he's more mobile, kind of.
Kind of.
In a different way.
If you, like, give him a scooter or a moped, maybe.
Oh, God, I just realized I might have to see some of this nonsense next week.
Just for the sheer shock value of it all?
No, you don't understand. I'm going to SmackDown and Dave Tuesday.
Oh, you better arrive early.
Kofi will be at Cricket Monday night.
What's that?
The thing I'm interested in seeing with the former G-Rilla is that a majority of his matches, if they're one-on-one, it's him against some basic jobber guy that he squashes, or he's in tag matches where he doesn't work a lot. So if he's going to be putting a lot of singles matches, it'll be interesting.
So he's essentially valet. Okay. Gets that kind of work. That's fun.
So move on. Move on, Mr. Typho.
All right, the next pair is Dolph Ziggler and Vicky Guerrero are the pros for Jacob Novak, who, in all honesty, I thought he was fired when they cleared out developmental 2 weeks ago. I swear his name was on that list, but I guess not. He's the one I know the least about from this group. I've seen him wrestle one time, so I can't really say much about him, but he's look-wise, he's pretty generic, about what you expect from the FCW mold. So, and I can't really speak to his ability, so we'll have to kind of see on that one.
All right.
The next pro is...
Hang on a second here, Typho.
All right.
Area code 620, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Talk to me. Do you guys plan on running a legitimate wrestling show, or are you just planning on sucking each other's cock on the air all night?
Good night, everybody. Anyway. So with that out of the way, Typho, I'm sorry that you had to be interrupted by an idiot. Go on.
I've been interrupted by worse, actually. But the next pro is Daniel Bryan, who was actually a rookie in season one, and now he's a pro. It's probably not surprising to most people, except maybe Michael Cole. But his rookie is Derek Bateman, who is or was an FCW tag team champion. Him and Johnny Curtis recently lost their titles. But Bateman's another guy who's been around for a decent amount of time, and I'd say he's the most charismatic of the group, and I expect him to have a decent showing for himself. He's reasonably skilled in the ring, pretty good on the mic. Him and Daniel Bryan should have several things in common, so I think it should be a fun pair. And the last pairing is Alberto Del Rio, who just months ago was in FCW with most of these guys. And his rookie will be Conor O'Brien, not related to Conan, who is... the man formerly known as Ryan O'Reilly, who he was recently rehired. He was in WWE's developmental system for several years, back in Deep South and OVW. And he also was the fill-in for, I think, Danny Basham when he got hurt as one of Paul Heyman's riot guards on ECW. He was one of the guys that got to get thrown around by Bobby Lashley in their final appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So... even though technically he's been on WWE TV before, this will be his first chance without the Riot Squad gear.
Which means he has to show personality.
Yes.
He cannot hide behind the shield.
He was also the guy that quit along with Chrissy Vane when they were a couple and decided they didn't want to be separated on the road.
Okay.
But now he's back.
I thought the name rang a bell. Let's see. You guys are gonna laugh at me because I did not finish my research on this. You were talking about the Riot Squad and my dear Uncle Paul. Well, my dear Uncle Paul is writing a book. I've been warned. It apparently is going to be a tell-all that is going to be released next summer. Tentative release date is July 19th. Like I said, I don't have any information in front of me because I'm an idiot and did not do my research. So shame on me, and I've got a button for that because I fail. Where is that button? Where is that button? That's the button.
Whoa!
You haven't contacted you to write the foreword yet?
No. He hasn't even asked me to proofread it. He knows that I ate English, but I failed accounting.
Well played.
Yeah. How many chapters is he going to have to reserve for the ECW revival?
Oh, I think what he's going to do is he's going to have two or three chapters covering the revival leading up to 2006, and hopefully he will be willing to speak up about that last meeting after December the Disaster.
Nikki, the reason he didn't ask you to proofread is that he couldn't afford you. Oh, no, wait, that's Ashley Massaro. I'm sorry.
I would have been more than happy to proofread it for him. Again, I aced English and failed accounting, so I think I do a fairly good job. Probably wouldn't get paid for it in the process.
He'd bounce the check.
Isn't he also writing a tell-all book about Brock Lesnar?
I know he and Lesnar have been working on a book. I came across that a couple of UFC pay-per-views ago, but he hasn't gone too far into detail with that other than that since he and Lesnar are good friends even outside of MMA. That's going to be a pretty interesting read. So I'd be curious to both books myself because I thoroughly enjoyed Lesnar and the Fed. I'm not an MMA person. I really just – it doesn't do it for me. You know, I've been intrigued by seeing Lesnar, you know, go out there and fight for real. I still feel that, you know, some of the UFC is scripted, but that's just me. I could be wrong.
And we've both met Brock in the past too, so – point for
yes,
that.
And the smile on his face when I got to meet him at OVW was just awesome. I was very happy I was very proud to meet him. So let's see, what else have I got on my list here?
I'm supposed to tell you, message from Seidelman, throw the idiot who called in into the room.
Oh, I got to throw him in there?
Apparently.
Actually, no, that's a very good idea.
Do we have a garbage disposal in there we can squash him with?
Let's see.
What the hell is that? That is completely stupid and pointless.
Thank you, Fergie.
I just in that gentleman's general direction, of course, that is...
Well, him and Heidenreich have some quality time.
And I didn't have a chance to interject earlier when this decent fellow called in, but to use an insult from an old worker, your mom should have swallowed you, buddy.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we at the North
American... Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
We do run a legitimate wrestling show. You won't see that on Between the Ropes, will ya?
And frankly, you know, if people want to call into our show, at least have a legitimate question about what we're actually talking about instead of your private habits in somebody else's closet. So,
that's right, like you can call in and ask what Keller underwear Mae Young wears.
Oh,
I will gladly answer. Polka dot.
It's terrible.
Oh, God.
Please tell me you don't speak from experience.
No, there's a thing called the internet. Oh, no, wait. What am I saying?
We all have our vices in life. Pat, pat, pat. Yes.
I thought I had a button for that, but I don't think I have it anymore.
Yes. Thank you, BCR, you piece of...
You fool!
Hey, is my gong out here?
No, you fool dropped off. I need to get that replaced. Actually, this will work. This isn't as good, but that's all right.
There you go.
So, as I was trying to say before, we at the North American Wrestling Connection appreciate the fact that we have an audience, and, you know, while I don't usually encourage people to call in, if you do have to feel compelled to call in, please ask a relevant question.
Bring something to the table.
Even if it's just a handful of Diet Mountain Dew for the panel. Come on. So.
Blah. Well, Four Loko for me, at least.
Yeah, before it gets pulled
that's
off the shelf.
That's just illegal. Oh, wait, not yet.
And please, no talking about cocks like that one caller did, because apparently he's got penis envy.
Well, he's got two phone numbers he needs to go look up. Dave, Chris, and Vincent Nothing. You just run along now.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Somewhere there's a bunch of indie workers cracking up.
Yeah.
Let's see. Does TNA have a pay-per-view this weekend? I haven't been able, my DVR is like, why do I have on it? Well,
yeah, TNA still have a show.
My God. Are they still pulling in any kind of decent ratings?
They got a 1.0 this past Thursday, which is up from their 0.85 from Thanksgiving, which really doesn't say a whole heck of a lot.
Nope. So for all that money,
would say woofa.
Mhm. So you know all this money they've spent, and it just really hasn't gotten them anywhere. Boy, doesn't this sound familiar? And we're not alone on this thought.
Mm.
Apparently, Mick Foley has gone on the record about this, and heck, he's been in there, so he might actually know what he's talking about. Bret Hart has spoken up about this with his interview of his son. Both of them saying pretty much what the internet and we here at the North American Wrestling Connection have been saying for months, that TNA is turning into WCW.
2000, yes.
Yeah. To
David Arquette, expect your phone to ring shortly.
Hey, I crashed. I was on the phone when Hogan and RVD were talking. If Hogan wants to call in, there's the phone. He can call
Didn't
and shit on me.
Didn't he just call a few minutes ago? Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
he's too busy filming another Rent-A-Center commercial.
Robert Aikman.
He's still stuck in his elf costume.
Yeah.
I thought he was doing another Lifetime. I thought he was doing a Lifetime movie this time.
Oh, yes, Lifetime, where men are nothing more than murderers, rapers, or adulterers.
TNA trying to turn into WCW, if they're not doing anything to disprove that, since apparently in the past week they tried to get DDP in, and he said no.
Right.
Well, I mean, to really bring things full circle, considering they've had celebrities cameo, your next Knockouts champion, Jay Wild. Just saying.
But yeah,
it might happen.
Let's see. Foley said, once you have Hogan as the face of your company, there's no real need for me. And one of the challenges they have on their show, and I understand completely, is that there's only so much room for the non-wrestling talker every week. And I had a lot of time to do that for a year and a half. I don't know if wrestling's going to play a role at all. Who knows? Part of my life will always be involved in wrestling. But Foley has stated that when his contract comes up, he is not renewing. Mainly because there's probably... there's not enough room in TNA for Foley's intelligence and Hogan's ego.
Man, pretty much. That it's a shame. I mean, so if you're scoring at home, that's now two people from the TNA Family Feud week that are on the outs. If you're scoring at home, just keeping tabs.
Even if you're alone.
By the way, another ramification from this: he got his book plugged on Raw. They're on good terms. Maybe by the time his contract expires, if it drags on long enough, could we be seeing our anonymous general manager? Who knows?
That would be awesome, because that would work for me. But I don't know if, you know, Foley was a good commissioner in the past. I think he could do it again. Let's see. Bret Hart weighed in on this. And he wasn't so nice. Brett's not a bitter old man. No, not at all.
Now, did Brett say this is bullshit, so much goddamn injustice around here?
No, at least he kept it clean.
Okay.
And I quote, do I get a button for that? Yeah,
the coal heat button, yes.
Sorry. Brett said that TNA had spent all these years building up their young stars, and like what happened in WCW, he says of Hulk Hogan and Bischoff, I just sense they don't have enough brains between the two of them to keep all the other guys going where they need to go. TNA simply bought the names, and they're going to get the same baloney that we all did in WCW. No matter how old he is or what kind of shape he's in, Hogan believes that in his heart he is the star of the show when he is wrestling. I don't think he gives a damn about anyone else. Brett claims he has a lot of friends in TNA and would never rule out working for the company, but he's definitely not going to be down there while Hogan and Bischoff are trying to run it. He's already done that one.
Hey, spot on. He's spot on. I mean, he, you know, absolutely true. Hit the nail on the head.
And I'm just impressed that the interviewer was able to track him down, since we haven't seen Brett since he was teleported from the ring by Kane on the August 30th edition of Raw.
Well, he had to turn up at some point, and I think first he turned up back at home to try to calm Martha down about poor Owen nonsense, and then he just went on his merry way. You could just, you know, watch him walking off into the sunset. Where is that line? Do. Just marching to the beat of the drum.
Yes,
sorry, I had to do that.
It's understandable.
Something that I've been speculating about since that the news of the attempted Diamond Dallas Page acquisition came up, is that just recently he said he'd be interested in working for them again, but now he's apparently turned them down. I'm wondering if maybe he's been contacted about a certain event coming up in Atlanta.
I think he might have been contacted. I know that Lex Luger's been contacted. He had a recent interview. And the fact that he's an unlockable character, and if I remember correctly, he's an unlockable in SmackDown versus Raw 2011.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
And on that note, Typho, somebody needs to drive Honky Tonk Man to the ring, so yes.
Honka, 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 honky love, indeed.
So, let's see. In our last 30 seconds, Jim, you probably have something to plug.
Yeah, sure. The BS Big Show, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, around about 10 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com/BSB, /BBS Big Show, excuse me.
Typho, real quick.
Tuesday night typho, every Tuesday night, 10 o'clock Central Time right here, Blog Talk Radio. Listen.
And that'll do it for us. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. See you in the archives. Good night, guys. And now we are in archives.
All I've got to say is, who says we don't run a great show? We're already better than season 3 of NXT.
That's because we don't shit on the product. We actually pay attention. We actually speculate. We actually try to put a positive spin on things. Cole's a lost cause. Oh wait, we hide.
You want NXT season 3 needed? Lacey Von Erich.
I'm not allowed to say
real natural dynamite for you right there.
It would have got me to vote every week.
Well, and there's a midget, and if she had won, there would have been a midget for her to have a sex scene with. Oh, wait, PG, I'm sorry. Oh, wait a minute.
I'm not allowed to say anything. Unfortunately, keep making pacts like this. The only reason Josh Henniger is still around is because I'm not allowed to make John Morrison jokes around him anymore.
That was a fun show.
That was an epic show. And
okay,
I tried to, go ahead. No, go ahead, Jim.
I was going to beg a question because I know the Slammies are coming up, not this coming Monday, but the following. Are we still doing an end-of-year awards spoofy spectacular?
Yeah, we're going to probably do that on the 17th.
Okay, I can whip some production stuff for that. Some smarmy announcer guy, welcome to the second annual Hi Awards or whatever.
Can we get Dennis Miller to call in?
He's not doing anything.
Personally, I would love that. I'm probably the only person who actually marked out at the thought of Dennis Miller being on the Slammies last year. He was just uncomfortable with the fact that he didn't know what he was going to be able to get away with.
Even by mid-show, Vince hated him.
Well, it's just that, you know, probably because Dennis Miller was too smart for Vince.
And Miller, in fairness, he has mellowed in recent years since he became Mr. Political Right-Wing Pundit. So,
and that's probably how he got the gig, the fact that he is a political right-wing pundit. That's right up Vince's alley.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. Maybe Vince was a fan of the radio show, which I still don't know any station within 100 miles of here syndicating it here, but okay.
So, I'm worried that I'm curious to see if they're going to get a special guest host for this particular for this next round of Slammies.
Yeah. I'm glad they're bringing it back and trying to make it an annual thing again. That's kind of nice.
You want somebody to host it? Just get Okerlund or somebody.
Well, since Vince is so far out of touch with reality, I hope he doesn't expect Leslie Nielsen to host it.
Don't give him any ideas.
Too soon? Too soon?
I'm only thinking right now. I wonder where that guy we brought in for SummerSlam 94 is. Let's get him in to guest host.
DJ, there's only one response to that. Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley.
Yeah.
It had, you know what he said.
Airplane never gets old. Never.
No, it doesn't. Airplane.
You can watch that movie 100 times and find 100 new things in each movie, seemingly. So.
I still watch whenever Police Squad would pop up. I would sit and they usually just do a marathon, but there's only 6 episodes.
Well, yeah, that's the epitome of too smart for the room, that show, so.
Absolutely. And first Naked Gun movie was good.
The other one.
No joke, Nikki. I actually, about a week before he passed,
was able to watch Naked Gun on Comedy Central, and I was flipping through the channels, and I saw the scene where he hopped in the back of a student driver car, and she was going down the ramp, and the truck was coming back up at him, and it was just priceless. I was in stitches, and it was just, I thought, wow, he has such great comedic timing, and he's going to be sorely missed, because I know I've heard people who have been interviewed, and they said he was just the nicest man.
And people forget he was a serious actor for God knows how many years beforehand. So
exactly.
And one of the video packages that I saw when the national news was covering it, they showed some of his early work, and he was a very good looking man. I understand why he was a lead, but it was fun to think that he just decided I could have more fun doing this. And when he runs,
he made more money.
And
thank God for that, for all of us.
Yeah, and Abramson Zucker just had a field day with him.
And I loved Scary Movie 3 just because he was the President of the United States.
I'd have voted for him.
You couldn't do much worse than the previous decade. Oh, I'm sorry.
This is like the saddest year ever. I mean, Peter Graves dies in March. Leslie Nielsen dies in late November. I mean, who's
Barbara
Kelly? Well, better not.
Who knew that woman had soul? Not I.
And Shawn Michaels took it from her.
Oh,
yes. Lost. Super kick, one super kick at a time. It's all tuck. That's right.
By the way, Nikki, I tried to mention earlier, I'm sure you know this by now, though, but on the night before the SmackDown show in Dayton, Kofi's going to be at your favorite cricket store signing autographs.
He's doing an autograph session over cricket in Dayton on Monday?
Yeah, it's going to be the day before, so you probably wouldn't be able to swing it. But
I couldn't even get decent tickets for Louisville.
Can you give me a good cell phone? Oh, not that cricket. Oh.
Well, no,
actually, it is.
It is.
It is
a very familiar haunt for DJ and I, because a lot of the wrestlers do autograph signings there. I've run into...
Okay. I know that.
I've met Kofi there once before. He was there with Eve Torres.
And Tony Garea.
Yeah, that was the same session, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Kane was there.
Nitro and Molina, which I've got a wonderful story that goes with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd run into them a few months before, and Barrett had taken a whole bunch of pictures of me talking to them. So we moved the pictures around and made it look like I was negotiating to be their manager. So I turned it into a great big news article, printed it out, and actually gave them a copy of it.
Oh, cool.
I got to talk to them, I was talking to them getting the autographs and the pictures out of the way, and somebody in line poked their head around the corner and said, "Hey, do you know her?" And Nitro looks back at him and says, "Yeah, she's our manager."
Hmm.
Woohoo!
Was that person in line Josh? Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't Josh, believe it or not. But just the fact that, This particular little bitty store has had so many autograph sessions. It sounds like DJ's been to almost all the ones that I've been to.
And by the way, now that we're on the topic of autograph sessions, I do have one to report since the last time I've been on the show.
All right.
Actually, a few, but I don't know if you've got my message from one of them, but... back in early October, I was back home in my old stomping grounds, and I took a trip up to the mall on the outskirts of Pittsburgh, And I'm walking through the center court of the mall there, and I see a bunch of tables erected in the by the Starbucks near the mall fountain there. And I'm walking through, and I said, "That guy looks really familiar." And I get closer and get closer, and I go down the escalator, and it was actually the Studio Wrestling reunion show. They had a bunch of the wrestlers that used to be on old Channel 11, WPXI, in Pittsburgh back in the 60s, and I might have been into the 50s. And there were a bunch of local wrestlers and a few that became national stars. The rundown of the ones that I met were Frank Colts, Hurricane Hunt, Frank Durso, Johnny DeFazio, Dominic Suzuki, Tony Maria, who's also known as the Batman, Chili Billy Carnilli, and a few other names that you may recognize, George the Animal Steel, and Bruno Sammartino.
Awesome.
So I was able to get pictures with all of them. I was able to get autographs from all of them. Actually, one of the promoters of the autograph session was there doing film work. He caught me shaking hands and having a conversation with George the Animal Steel and Chili Billy Cardilli. So I had a great time there. And then when I came back to Toledo a few weeks later, I ended up going to Michigan for a TNA show and did the VIP deal and got, you know, autographs and pictures with a bunch of the talent beforehand. Got a picture with Jeremy Buck and asked for them to do the picture in the ring. And I was expecting it to be Mr. Anderson because he was the main star in the loop, but I didn't have Anderson yet. And so I said, I always figure, you know, this will be usually to do Kurt Angle or Jeff Hardy. And I have those guys already, but I thought he's the main star on the loop. And, you know, he was there the night before in the ring. So I thought, oh, it'll be great to get him. Little did I know that somebody else, and I'm pointing to myself right now, myself, was there as the headliner for the shows in Michigan, which is his home state. So I ended up getting a picture with Rob in the middle of the ring, and that was really cool because, you know, he very rarely works house shows because I think his dates are up for the year. So that was really cool to meet him. I haven't met him, so I added him and Jeremy Buck to my list. So I met a lot of different people last month, about 10 in total. So.
No, I got your message about Venmeister. I did not get your message about the older wrestlers, which that's just mind blowing.
It was tremendous. I mean, they had I bought like a book there for $10, and it had all the results from the studio wrestling shows and the pictures, and they had old event flyers. And one that I actually bought was one where the guys were wrestling at Mellon Arena, which was the Pittsburgh Civic Arena back then. And one of the interesting facts about that place is that it had a retractable roof. They used to open it up so that the symphony, Pittsburgh's Civic Orchestra, could play under the stars. And that's actually where they had some of the events, the bigger matches when the WWF came to town. But for studio wrestling, they had it in WPXI Studios, and it was broadcast, you know, all throughout Eastern Ohio, West Virginia, and Western Pennsylvania. So a lot of those guys remained local when they were stars. I mean, Jumpin' Johnny DeFazio is actually an Allegheny County commissioner. You know, a lot of those guys. And then George the Animal Steel made it, of course, big. Bruno Sammartino, you know, the greatest WWF champion of all time. So, I mean, it was really great just to hear them go on and on about the stories. Dominic DiNucci, who trained Mick Foley, trained Shane Douglas. I mean, they were just having a ball, and it was great to be a fly on the wall for that. It really was.
Awesome stuff.
All I've got is just a really, well, actually, I had a very interesting honor last night. I got to work at a local IWA show. There's an IWA group that runs out of Chillicothe, Ohio, which is about an hour from me. I went down there with Super Oprah and another wrestler, a kid named Jesse Sexton. Super Oprah actually worked a match with a local legend, Cody Hawk. Cody is very well known in Ohio. He was a trainer and a longtime worker for Heartland Wrestling all the way back when it was still affiliated with the WWE. He never made it to television, but he is a very, very talented worker. I was very honored to be, you know, running around the ring while he was working Super Okra. The fact that he was the one who attempted to train me before I got hurt and was willing to speak with both of us after the match just to give us a couple of pointers down the line. He approves of my how well I do articulate myself in promos and enjoyed the fact that I shout to the rafters while I'm running around the ring, you know, making fun of the fans and making fun of him. That's huge for me.
Speaking of IWA, Nikki, I actually, and this was years ago when I was still in Columbus, I think it might have been 06 or 07. I think it was 06.
Right.
I wanted to go to a show in Chillicothe, but I had other plans come up at the last minute. I couldn't make it when Danielson was actually there working. And that was in Chillicothe. Was it at like it's called like Whiskey Dicks or Screaming Willies or some one of those type places, I think. But I actually wanted to hit that show years ago, and then I remember there was a guy there who also they talked about him as like a local legend or whatnot. I think his name was like Bull Miller or something.
Bull Miller, who is actually has been around Chillicothe in Columbus. In fact, he's the promoter of this IWA branch. He actually ran a school here in Columbus. I found out that he started the training for Super Okra, Jesse Sexton, and several other local people. Super Okra formally introduced me to Bull some 5-6 months ago, and he invited me to come down and manage for this branch of IWA. So I've been managing Super Okra, and I just picked up a new tag team, the Russian Mafia.
Oh.
I've gone out and introduced myself as saying that the Russian Mafia needed a proper Mafia Don, or in my case, a proper Mafia Dom.
You have to change your name to Nikki Kozlov for that one, though.
I still got my Polish last name that I was going to use. Since everybody keeps telling me if I lose any more weight, I'm going to have to change my gimmick. I could just go out and introduce myself as Nikki Chizeski. And you got to go in about 6 letters before you get to a vowel. So it could come to that. I'm going to be shopping for a couple of different caps to go with this because the I Love New York hat just isn't going to work if I'm going to be managing these two.
Look for the hammer and sickle.
Because see if Alex Kozlov will let you borrow his hat.
Jim might know this. You can get a New Jersey Nets jersey with Prokhorov on the back.
Oh, yes. Yes, the Russian owner of the... Or you know what? Wear a Flyer jersey with Sergei Bobrovsky's name on the back. You know, the great Russian goaltender. I'd call him Russian Bear. It hasn't caught on, though, but...
As a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, I don't know who the Flyers are, but I do know that there's a team in Philadelphia.
I beg your pardon. Yes. Chicken ass and chicken anyway.
Do I have to... There's a button. Shoot, I'm in archive. I can't.
No, there isn't a button. Ha-ha.
Damn it.
There's a button for the Flyers. I think it's called a toilet flushing.
No, there's a button for talking about...
Oh! You check the soundboard up. Congratulations, you win a cookie.
Occasionally
it stays on. Yeah, I know.
I also received some good news tonight. My cousin called me and said, "What are you doing on December 27th? I said, "Nothing." He said, "How would you like to go to the SmackDown show at Console Energy Arena? It's going to be a Monday night opposed to Raw." My little cousin, he's 7 years old. He's getting into wrestling. He's doing the whole Justice John Cena for Halloween, so it's really cool for me to see him. Like my older cousin, when I was my younger cousin's age, he was in his late 20s, early 30s. He was a big wrestling fan. I used to go over for pay-per-views and everything. So now his son is 7 years old, and he was my age, you know, when I started to get into it and everything. And, you know, he's starting to get back into it, and they're all going to go for Boys Night Out.
for cool. A couple of days after Christmas, and I'm going to go along with him. And he actually got seats tonight. He pulled six floor seats, so we're going to be in the fifth row for a SmackDown show on the 27th in Console Energy Arena. It'll be both of our first trips to the new arena, so I'm very looking forward to that.
Very nice. Hopefully, yeah. I hear it's a beautiful new arena, and just as state of the art as Pittsburgh can get, I mean, or as anybody can get for that matter.
Yeah, my sister's actually a student at Duquesne, and literally when they were building the arena, you could see it from her apartment. She's a stone's throw, and she's been for a few Penguins games for the Duquesne Rush, and she said it's just it'll blow you away. And Nikki, we've been to Mellon Arena plenty of times, and it was that old dog out of the water. I love it because that's where, I have a lot of great memories of that old building, but newer is better, I guess.
Lord Stanley, give me the brandy.
Well, I look forward to it. I'm not going to be able to go out there on the 27th. I've got the Dayton show next week, and I'll probably go ahead and break this on the live show at some point. But I'm going to go ahead and let you guys know too. End of January, Raw is going to be in Detroit, and SmackDown is going to be in Cincinnati.
Hmm.
I have pulled my ticket already for Raw in Detroit. They did a pre-sale today. And I hope that what I was told is correct, because I have a front row corner seat within spitting distance of where Mark Eaton has to hide for Raw to Joe.
Nice.
So in other words, you have DJ seats from the time when I was at Raw in Dayton, January 4th, for Brett and Sean.
Yep.
That's where I was.
That's where I'll be sitting, and I pulled them on a pre-sale. I have never.
Nice.
That's only the second time I pulled front row for a show, and the other one was a horrible house show in Fort Wayne, opposite Raw in Pittsburgh, the night that Harry Smith was supposed to debut, and all he ended up doing was a locker room when the locker room cleared out at the end of the show or something.
And I was at that show in Pittsburgh, of course.
So, but here's the one that's going to be even crazier. The SmackDown in Cincinnati. I have a friend who has a friend who works for the arena, and if we've done this right, we're going to have a bunch of the super fans all together camera side.
Oh, boy.
Holy cow.
That may mess up the PG thing going there, yeah.
Well, yeah.
No one will be safe.
No, because it's going to be, so far we have committed me, there, Brandon, the Tuckers, this one family that goes to way too many shows, and DJ knows who I'm talking about.
Yep. Pink jumpsuit people?
No, not Mr. and Mrs. Neon. The Tuckers actually dress perfectly.
But they might be there too. Don't count them out.
Yeah, I expect to see Mr. and Mrs. Neon, but they're not part of this group. But we're going to have the Tuckers there. We're going to have Palette Swap Sign Guy, probably. Orange and Green.
He got a hug from Cena at the Survivor Series.
Yeah, when Cena hugged Ackbarger, and then he hugged Palette Swap Sign Guy. Probably because he recognized him. Let's see, we're going to get Frankie Mustari, a.k.a. the WWE Clown. There's him and somebody else dressed in clown suits, not doink costumes, clown suits. They're usually sitting spit side. Yeah, there is a difference. I met them at Elimination Chamber earlier this year, and I've been talking to Frank, and he's going to be joining us. Skinny John's going to be there. The Cena and Orton fan who should not sit next to me. Brandon,
I only half like him then.
Yeah. Well, DJ, just picture the car ride with him and me, with him going on about Cena and Orton and Hogan, with me going on about RVD and a couple of other people.
Jello.
Yes.
Yes.
Lots and lots of Jello.
Lots of glitter ad love.
I can't help it. There's 8 very good reasons to watch him. Anyway.
Josh Henniger is not here. I'm allowed. I know you're allowed. This is our kind of cheer show, and, you know, it's...
By the way, now that you brought up Josh, I you remember that show, obviously, but when we got into the archive after that show, we had ragged on him the whole show, so I didn't want to go any further, but you'd said something like, oh, you know, Josh, we're sorry, we picked on you tonight, and he said something like, no hard feelings, and I was holding back, I was going to say that was the name of the movie that you and John starred in, but...
Oh,
I couldn't pull the trigger then, but now that we're in the archive, you probably won't listen to her. That would have been
a joke. You're making friends everywhere you go. Yeah.
Josh, if you are listening, I love you, buddy.
Platonically, of course.
And eventually Josh will be allowed back on the show, and I will try not to make Jomo jokes, but it's hard.
It's a 12-step program that's very tough to start. I understand. Well, I don't truly understand, but I can surmise what you're going through.
So, with that, gentlemen, this has been an absolute blast.
It has
been, yes. So, I'll probably send an email out about this, and I promise I will send one out before Wednesday. I want some ideas for the end of the year show.
Okay. Well, this begs the question, are we going 1 or 2 hours for it, do you think?
For sure. It's going to be 2 hours. Jason suggested 3, said no way on God's green earth.
No. That it's the pre-show, then the post-award show with the interviewees and you know, red carpet. Yeah. Hey. Who are you wearing?
Maybe one of these days, Nikki, though, we can try to do...
Go ahead, DJ. Oops, I lost DJ.
Let's just make it a marathon show and have it go like 8 hours.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, we're in the 7th hour
every,
of our marathon.
Every hour you rotate panelists. So eventually, by like the 7th hour, you start repeating. So, hey, we last talked to you 5 hours ago. What's been going on since then?
What's been going on since then? If you pop the cork early, come on down. Yeah, it's New Year's Eve. Come on. That's right.
Marathon show.
Exactly. Ah. Well, but you can only max out at 3 hours on ETR anyway, right?
As far as I know. And I don't think I really wouldn't want to do 3 hours.
I would, commit myself. I would, like, commit Harry Carey if you even tried that. So...
No, I'm going to go. I want to go with 2 hours. I would like to do some, you know, some best of, worst of, or just do a best of, you know, where do we go from here? And a room 101, I think, would probably do us pretty well for the end of the year.
Yeah, I think technically I've never been involved in a room 101 in my short time. Well, not short anymore, but relatively short time with the show. I've never been involved in a full-fledged segment, I don't think.
Oh, wow. Well, we're going to have to fix that.
Yeah,
every room 101 I'm involved in, I'm trying to save something that's getting thrown in, whether it be Wrestlicious or Wrestling Society X.
There's no saving Wrestlicious after I've seen it a few times. I do watch it occasionally, when it does occasionally show up on the Comcast network here in Philly, just to make myself feel better about life.
There was saving Wrestling Society X, though. That was awesome.
With the exploding ring that just looked so bad. Yeah.
I mean, how can you really talk bad about something with a piranha tank death match and an exploding time bomb cage match?
That's the one, yeah. The exploding time bomb cage where you could tell they blew their budget on the CGI.
And Ricky Bandera shooting lasers out of his eyes.
Jesus
Christ. Not even Seidel could save that show. I'm sorry. I, you know, no. No.
I have the DVD box set, and right, it's right next to me. I mean, it's, I bought it the day it came out.
How many episodes of it were there? How many different episodes? 13?
I think there were 10.
That's about right.
I think like 9 of them aired, and the 10th was supposed to be the finale, and they never aired it.
So it was really Wrestling Society X minus I, which made it IX.
Pretty much.
Roman numeral math. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Matt Classic. Yeah, Matt Sydal.
Mm-hmm.
Six Pac. Vampiro. Jack Evans.
Mm-hmm.
And all the greats were there.
What do you think of the legends?
Fabian Kalin, possibly the greatest ring announcer of all time. I mean, if you can't watch his introduction of the Human Tornado and not smile, then you have no soul.
Pretty much. No.
Well,
how
then,
you say this
you know,
with a straight face, I don't know. But
well, what you're gonna be some things you might be saving, Typho, will be stuff like NXT Season 3.
There's no saving that.
No.
Thank you. I thought it was just me.
If Lacey Von Erich was on the show, I'd fight for it, but no, can't do it.
AJ doesn't do it for you. Yeah, well, you know, all the war.
Not enough.
Not enough natural dynamite for you. Okay.
There were only 3 on the show that I actually liked, and that's not enough to save it.
Well, 3 was half the show, was it not? Or was it,
yeah.
Who cares? Yeah.
So. There were a couple girls on there that I was fine with. I just couldn't get past the commentary.
Yeah, I mean, when it became the running gag and the joke that, you know, it was likened to the point of the song that doesn't end that went on and on, my friend. Yes.
What about the episode that Punk did commentary with them?
Oh, that was great. Come on. A CM Punk announcer of the year, book it.
No. Punk outshines Matt Stryker right now. And that's
well,
that's
Stryker's in the doghouse allegedly, too, so.
And apparently nobody likes him.
Probably because sometimes he just doesn't keep his facts straight.
Yeah, Wikipedia is not the know-all, end-all. Just, you know.
And his blown call at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Probably. I didn't see it, but well, okay. How bad did he blow the call? Oh, the
he's free.
The John Cena. Yeah.
2 seconds later, Lawler. You mean he's fired? Like, yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well.
Oh, he was going to be free either way.
Technically, he's free. He's free of having to. You know. There's no defending it. Sorry.
That's what I forgot to get to on this show. Cena having a little fun with continuity.
Yes.
When dealing with the Nexus, claiming that security's giving him a free pass because the Nexus attacked security the first night.
It was only like one or two security guys.
The only one they got was Sergeant Jimmy. Now, granted, he might be the honcho with them now, but I thought it was Maven Jimmy. Anyway, if he got the right Jimmy, maybe he called the whole Jimmy squad off. Then there's arena security. Never knows what they're doing anyway.
What about indie wrestling security? They usually will get the job done.
No, they rarely ever do. Yes.
Oh no, they get a job done all right.
The guy a few weeks ago did a good job. He kept Lay Cool out of the building.
Well, that's true. Yes.
And
it was
about
possibly the first successful security guard move in history.
I think so.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I want to be the one that was guarding Del Rio's car tonight. I wonder how much, on top of the $250 they probably floated him just to be in the arena, how much Del Rio dropped him.
know, like I said in the SmackDown chat room I was in, that Del Rio probably just paid that guy more than any of the TNA knockouts make.
Oh, sad but true. Sad but true.
Oh, bloody true. Oh, my word.
Yes, I'd probably make more announcing a doubleheader of basketball than a TNA knockout makes in a wrestling match. By the way, for the record, that would be $70. So.
Let's see.
Madison Rain dreams about that kind of money.
So.
Why do you think she pimps her wish list so much on Twitter?
All right, boys, let's call it a night. But if you guys think of a couple things for the show, don't hesitate to hit me up on Facebook or come bug me in an IM.
Sure, certainly will. I'm cogitating a few ideas as I sit here. Yes.
Oh, and if you want, Typho, I can. No, that would be mean. I was going to say something about a Lacey Von Erich Award, but you wouldn't like what I would be awarding it for.
Diva / Knockout of the Year?
No, I would just say Ditz or Stupid Person of the Year. Oh my God! I don't know if Seidelman told you. He sent me the whole TNA week of Family Feud. There are freaking gems left to right. What was it? Jay Lethal is asking Fast Money. Name the number of X-rated movies you've seen in your life. And he comes out of nowhere and says 13. The frick? Of course, E. Still.
Oh, he lowballed that, anyway.
Yeah, well, sure he did, but still.
He thought they said in the last hour.
You were wrong.
Insert Chibi Vicky here.
It's just that whole family. It's my understanding that the TNA Family Feuds were just incredibly just wrong, edge level wrong.
They were tragically funny. Tragically funny.
So.
All right, I'm going to go kick my netbook. My apologies for my audio problems early on. My netbook has been, like, acting completely screwy the last few weeks. Going to probably get it serviced soon enough, so.
All right, well, you get that worked on, because I'm going to need you on the 17th. I'm probably going to do a split panel like we did a little while back. Get some people for one half of the show, some people for the other half of the show, because I would like to hear from everybody.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah. Nighty-night all.
Yep, night, Jim. Night, Typho. Thanks again.
All right, no problem.
All right, hang in there, guys.